Good evening.
Good evening.
First thing, we should have introductions around.
I'm Ellie.
Jeffrey.
Craig.
Ethan.
Linda.
Carmen.
Lynn.
Judy.
Wendy.
Angie. So you're new here?
Mm-hmm. I'm just visiting from Seattle.
I see. Mm-hmm. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Where do you sit in Seattle?
Mm-hmm. I'm in Ravenna. Oh. I started with the Ravenna Vanka Satellite Group, and then I've been going to the Kanaka Center in Bali.
I see. Far, far away, it feels mm-hmm. like, huh? Mm-hmm. Are you here for long?
I'm not sure yet.
Uh-huh. Well, welcome. Craig, you've been here before.
Actually, I listened to you last week at the mindfulness.
That's what it was.
Mercy.
That's right.
That was very great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Yes, lovely to see everybody. So we're in the last round. They're just this chapter and one more, I think, of Suzuki Roshi's book on what we just chanted, the Sando Kai. So it's...
Really?
Yes, we're on the last lap. We're on the 12th talk, which is addressing what we just said, do not pass your days and nights in vain. Very important not to waste time. And Suzuki Roshi has a great deal to say about this chapter, or this piece of it. He starts out by saying that often we, almost always, we begin with selfish practice. We just want to get enlightened because we've heard about it, or we have some feeling that there is something and we want to get closer to it. It's called it sometimes in Zen weight-seeking mind, that we have some kind of notion. And it's all wrapped up in our idea of ourself and often of our suffering, that we know life is really hard and yet it feels like there's something else and it's hard to tell what that is. I remember when I first ran into Suzuki Roshi and heard him speak, and I thought, oh, he knows. He knows what that is, even though you can't really say what it is. There's a way of expressing and living from both sides rather than just the one superficial, sort of ordinary, what's called ordinary side. Of course, there aren't any two sides, really. It just feels like it because we're so used to analyzing and thinking and putting words on everything, that we lose the sense of what we know when we're quiet. We lose the sense of the peace that we carry with us at all times. So he said, it's hard to accept, but if you really practice our way, enlightenment is right where you are. There's no place to go. You can't get anything. You're already there. That's what Sekito is saying in this poem. You know, the way is right under our feet, even though often we don't accept that. It can't be like this because I had a headache this morning. You know, how could that be? But if we really study our place and the time we're in, the moment that we're in, we have to see this is all we have. Everything else is just an idea. What happened, what's going to happen. We can think those things, but we can only experience what's actually happening. That's why he talks about eyes and ears and nose and tongue, because it's the reality of being this, not some airy kind of golden web of beauty and charm. And it's more visceral than that. It's what we mean by love when we mean really mean love, the real thing, not some Hollywood idea, but what happens in the heart and the gut as we live. He says there's no reason to be discouraged if we don't attain enlightenment. Nor should we be extremely happy if we do attain it, because there is no difference. Practice and enlightenment have equal value. If enlightenment is important, practice is also important. When we understand this point, within each step, we have enlightenment. But there will be no need to be excited about it. Step by step, we will continue endless practice, appreciating the bliss of this Dharma world. It's amazing what happens when we allow this to be, how things begin to fall into place in new ways. That what seems extremely difficult becomes a different kind of difficulty as we become more aware of how our mind and body are alive, how they actually live and breathe, how our blood flows through our brain, our veins, and our how our brain is working with our knees and our toes. He says, the famous koan, a very famous koan, is every day is a good day. That used to irritate me when I was trying to raise three little boys and trying to deal with them. Every day is a good day? You've got to be kidding. He said, you shouldn't complain if you have some difficulty. What it means is don't spend your time in vain. He says, I think most people are spending their time in vain, saying, no, I'm always busy. But if they say so, it's a sure sign they're spending their time in vain. If you're always busy, most people do things with some feeling of purpose, as if they know what they're doing. But even so, I don't think they have a proper understanding of their activity. When you do something with a purpose based on some evaluation of what is useful or useless, good or bad, more or less valuable, your understanding is not so good. If you do things that need to be done regardless of whether the results are good or bad, that is real practice. Just do it. Just do it. It's there to do. Not because of Buddha or truth or yourself or others, but for the things themselves. If the tea kettle is boiling, turn it off. Make the tea. Without equivocating and thinking, oh, now I have to turn it off. I mean, we're always resisting and also leaping forward into things, wanting more than we have or even need. He he talks about being at Tassajara and not knowing why he's there. I think it's very charming. He says, I'm here, but I'm not here for my students. I'm not here because it feels really good. He says, when I have to leave, I feel sorry, but I don't know why I feel sorry. I just do. He said, the only thing that I really care about is just sitting. Just being able to sit on my cushion here. He said, I'm not expecting anything in the future in terms of a big monastery or Buddhism. I don't want to live up in the air. I want to be right here. I want to stand on my feet. He said, to stay at this moment in this place is my zazen. So it's not just sitting on the cushion. It's being where we are, completely, authentically right here, however, wherever we are. He said, for me, that's nirvana. There's no need to travel to cross mountains or rivers. I'm right here in the Dharma world. He said, moment after moment, we should live right here without sacrificing this moment for the future. I think that's the most important message of this whole chapter. Don't sacrifice this moment for any future. We don't know what the future is going to bring. We like to think we do, but alas. And then he talks about why he said about the ancestors that there's no north or south in the teaching, because there were many disputes in the Zen schools. They all split up in different schools, and just like in other religions, they started arguing about angels on the head of a pin, kind of the same kind of foolishness, you know. Oh, but we have the real truth, and this is what Wu Neng said. Really, really, this, he's wrong. And Sekito is really fed up with all of that and is pointing out that it's a big mistake. And it really is the human mistake, how we judge and separate ourselves from each other and refuse to try to understand each other. And how we actually believe that we ourselves are isolated and separate and different from everything else. It's our biggest mistake. We all belong. We belong where we are, right now, right here. And there's nothing to separate us. And yet, amazingly, we don't run into each other. It's just amazing, really. Everything just has its own place and its own time. Each one of us. Our own world, really. And yet, we're in each other's world at the same time. And the more we're able to feel that, the more harmony we have in our own life and in the life all around us. It affects everybody. If you don't stay on this spot, realizing your position, then you're not practicing our way. What is your position? What is our position? And it keeps changing. We can't pin it down. We cannot pin it down. Then there's a student here who is just struggling and asking Suzuki Roshi these questions about why, if sentient beings are numberless or desires are inexhaustible, how can you say, I vow to save them? What does that mean? And of course, everybody asks that. Everybody gets upset about that. It sounds like I'm vowing the great me to do these wonderful things for everybody and make the world all better. And so Roshi discusses this with the young person. He says, you cannot save, whether it's possible or not, whether it's Buddhist or Hinayana or Mahayana way, it's not the question. Anyhow, just do it. He says, I totally agree with you. It doesn't make sense, but just do it. It makes sense. The student says, I don't know, maybe, but Roshi says, you're crying. Even though you're crying, that crying doesn't make any sense. Your effort is still based on some selfish practice. Don't give yourself up. You have to suffer and fight more with yourself. There's no one to fight with and nothing to fight with. Fight with your selfish practice until you give up. It's kind of a silly way of talking about it, but it is the essence of our practice, that as we sit down and begin to face ourselves in Zazen, we have to see how much of what we do is so deeply self-involved in a story that seems to be about this person. We carry an image of the self, and the image has a belief that we're the same person all the time, and that we're the same person from beginning to end. And yet, if we even look in our journals and read back through, or look at family photographs and look at that little baby and try to imagine that that was me, we have to see that what we are is activity, constant activity in this active, very constantly changing world. And we meet the world with our activity, and encounter it as we mature and question ourselves and begin to see that so much of it is all made up. It's just made up to protect a kind of image that we were given, much of it. Much of it is our conditioning that our parents and our teachers told us when we were young, this is who you are, and this is who you should be, and be careful and don't step over these lines that we're drawing for you. And then a lot of the work, especially in the first 80 years of your life, is to see through the conditioning and see through how much of what we do is affected and has been implanted in us, when beyond that there's something, a more authentic way to act in the world without being hamstrung by all these other ideas that of ways that we're supposed to be. Coben sometimes said, there just is no supposed to be kind of thing. We have to decide. We can decide ourselves with our own active intelligent, sensitive minds how to be and what is required. And what's required is what the moment requires. And it doesn't require a self-conscious mind. We don't have to keep thinking about what kind of effect we're having because we don't know. We really don't know how we're coming across. Now, actors can do that. Actors can act like Henry VIII. But it's a superficial show, even with Shakespeare's beautiful words. But what the actor is something entirely different. And we're entirely different from how we present ourselves in social world. I mean, we are that. We have to be someone when we get up in the morning and brush our teeth. That's our delicious life. But we don't have to cling to some kind of notion of trying to be something special. We're not very special. Even though we're extremely special at the same time. Karen?
Is this the same point as when you said realizing your position?
Yes. Yeah. And it's always changing. So sometimes we're the smartest one in the class, and other times we're the dork. You know, we're sometimes we can run a race, and another time we can't do that. We just keep being in the context of the world that we are. We rise to the occasion, as we say in English. We rise and do what needs to be done. Wendy?
You're raising lots of questions here.
Oh, good.
So, how do we make the decisions on what needs to be done? I mean, I'm tired. I don't have any needs to be done.
It's not about you. It's about your world, what needs to be done in your world.
I see that.
That's what you're doing.
But that's endless.
Yes.
And that's endless.
It is.
So, I mean, I do what I can, but it brings me pleasure.
That's good.
So I'm getting good out of it. And it's useful. And that's contradicted in what you read in the beginning.
I don't think so.
Said don't do what is good or bad.
Don't worry about whether it's good or bad.
Don't worry
about it. Don't concern yourself with judging whether you're doing a good thing or a bad thing. Do exactly as you say. Let your own intuition lead you to do and act your life in your world as it feels right to do, which is exactly what you're doing. No.
Okay.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, what's selfish is to do everything for yourself, to close the doors and stay.
No, I wouldn't like that.
Of course not, because you... No.
That would be unselfish.
And he says even as selfish people, we're already who we are, where we are. So it's best not to worry about it too much. That's what he ends up telling this kid. Um, said, just try to forget yourself and rely on your true voice, your voiceless voice, your nonverbal voice. Listen to the tongueless teaching. He says, and this maybe is part of it. Your thinking comes from one-sided feeling. You think you're here. You think you're Joe or Mary, but actually it's not so, not like that. I think I'm Suzuki, he says, but if someone calls me Suzuki, I feel funny. You know that? Says, oh, is this Suzuki? The first reaction is, no, I'm not Suzuki. That funny feeling. I've had that so much recently. It really strikes a bell with me because everyone's making a fuss about my 80th birthday. And I don't feel like that person at all. It just does not compute in my mind. I think, am I going to have to meet people as an 80-year-old person? And then I try to think what that would be like. And you know, the conditioning that goes into your mind about what 80 means. And in my mind, because I grew up I was born in the 30s, 80 was ancient. And, you know, people felt sorry for the frail little old ladies. And I think, oh, I have to be a frail little old lady. This is terrible. It's so silly. But I find this is inspiring. You know, it's of course it's the case on one side, but the truth is it's not really like that at all. You don't feel like what you think you maybe ought to feel like and look like. You just don't. None of us does. We have our own sense of ourself, and that's our Buddha nature. That's what they mean by Buddha nature. That true sense of that authentic sense of being someone with our feet on the ground. Yeah, we really know who we are. We forget sometimes. Are there more questions?
Turn on the light.
Just a comment. I'm very grateful for your almost 80 years on the planet. And today is also Bob Dylan's birthday. I'm grateful for Robert Zimmerman to be in this world.
Yes.
There's a lot of humor in what you said.
I'm back.
Oh. I agree. I didn't know that about Bob Dylan. That
75 this was today.
75? Oh, he's a baby.
Does that make you feel young?
It does.
He's got a bird that whistles. He's got a bird that sings.
He does. Anything else? Well, it's 8 o'clock. So we have one more chapter, which means one more week of Suzuki Roshi, and then we have to do something else, think of something else to do. So maybe next week there'll be some suggestions for something else delicious that will keep us awake and interested.
Do you want to go back to the pile of books you brought in? Because there were a lot of them that surfaced as interesting.
Did anybody keep notes about it?
We have a picture.
Oh, wonderful. How clever.
We made a little, pattern of how they were sort of voted.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, if you could bring that next week.
But you're not going to be here next week. next Tuesday.
Oh, Carolyn will be. 31st. Yes, that's right.
So would you like to wrap up Suzu Sakito, or would you like her to?
She can do
can
it.
Switch it.
She can do it.
She can wrap it up.
Sure.
Okay, I'll have to let her know.
Be a good thing. A whole nother point of view.
True.
Yes. Yes. She's very wise.
So I guess we don't need the picture till the following week.
So we can talk about the book too. We can do it all.
I think that's a good idea. Get exposed to all the possibilities so we can decide the next week.
We shouldn't just limit ourselves to those books anyway.
Well, heavens no.
Absolutely not.